On today's Restomp podcast, we'll celebrate 350th game of champion David Mundy. We'll preview the upcoming game against Sydney very, very early at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at Metricon Stadium. I'm pretty sure the Chief will have something in a neighbourhood watch segment. There's been a lot going on down the road this week. But right now, let's start wearing purple with Gogo Bordello.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So, yeah.
Welcome to the Restomp Podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonald, and I'm joined by a man who was traded for pick number 19 in the 2003 draft. That is Greg Barra Dwyer.
That's your worst yet.
What do you mean?
That's your worst yet. You've had some shockers, and that's your worst.
Mate, you've got to
be better.
Stephen Coops.
Yeah.
We got pick 19 for Stephen Coops, who had played 78 games for Freo at that point over the course of 8 years. That's almost a first round draft pick for a guy that, you know, granted, very talented, but riddled with injury.
Yeah.
Come off a knee in 1999, a knee injury that we forgot to inform the AFL about, which then resulted in a positive drug test for pethidine. and got poor Stephen Coops put on the ASDA register as a drug offender. But what a deal for Freo. And like, no disrespect to Stephen Coops, I reckon he's one of my favourite Dockers. I think he could have been anything, but you know, injuries crippled him, you know, forcing him to retire at the age of 26. But pick 19, and we pick up a young man named David Mundy from the Murray Bush Rangers. Now he's 350 games later. Look at this.
Wow. That could go down as our best trade ever. Admittedly.
Well, it's not, to be fair, exactly.
But that is amazing. Usually we're on the other opposite end of those types of trades, Jojo. Wow.
Did you like, I love Stephen Coops, though. He had arms, it just went forever.
Didn't he? They still use him in the highlights package for the marks. That mark where he went right out and just about fell on his head. He was a ripper. If he could have, there's how many players are like that though? They've got so much ability and raw talent that they can't stay together. They can't hold together.
I feel like we've had, you know, 20 or 30 of them in Fremantle's history at least.
Yeah, that's right.
In our short history.
I think we've had all of them.
Do you know, David Mundy, you know, I think, what is it? His 19th year this year, or next year, sorry.
No.
He was still dropping. 2003. Okay, sorry. Yeah. 19th next year.
18th
so he was drafted in 03.
Oh, okay, right. Yep.
He was still drafted in the days where you were allocated a waffle club and came over and won a flag with Subiaco.
Mate, 17, Jojo.
it'll be 2022 next year.
Oh, God, I get my years mixed up. It is too. Been a long day. What was that? Say that again.
Now you get drafted to an aligned club. Everyone just turns up to the same place. But back in the day, you know, he's aligned to Subiaco. Comes over and wins a flag with Subi,
yeah. Let's hope it's not the only flag he's going to win. But unless we win one next year, he might be in a bit of strife.
Yeah. But I mean, what a player. We've recently come off milestone season with Fife playing his 200th.
Yeah.
And, you know, the conversation around that was, you know, who's the best Docker of all time, he or Pavlich? And it's only really when you read up on Mundy and what he's done for us and his longevity and his consistency. Do you reckon he should feature in that conversation as well?
That's a very interesting question because...
I think all said and done, and once a couple of years pass by, I think when we think back on players, I think maybe he might not be on that very, very top tier.
No.
But he's on that level with Luke McFarlane just below, I think.
Yeah. If you're talking, as you said, longevity, versatility, durability, absolutely, yes. I mean, he's missed just 24 games of what he could have possibly played. How's that for durability over 350 games? And, you know, with those 24 games, 10 of them were in one season when he had that serious ankle injury back in 2011. But, you know, David Mundy does everything above average. You don't want to sound disrespectful. You know, he's kicked 154 goals. He goes at 21 possessions a game. He holds his own, and he's just not that enormously, you know, combative brute force. But you take a team of 22 David Mundys and you wouldn't get beaten.
I think the other thing about, you know, you talk about his games tally. He played his whole first season playing for Subi in that premiership team in 2004. And his first game for Frio, I think it was in round six in the following year in 2005. So he's pretty much, you know, these days, kids drafted in the first round or early second round get an opportunity most of the time in their first season. But he sat out a full year. Finished third in the Rising Star behind Delidio and Griffin, who feel like they've been retired for a million years.
Yeah.
What can you say? And then this year, you know, he's practically if he's not an All-Australian, he's an All-Australian caliber season. Just don't ask Brad Hardy.
No. No, but it's beyond that as well. Like, it's his... You know, it's his loyalty to a fault. You know, he leads by example with his actions, you know, on and off the field. I mean, not once have we had to wake up and then turn, you know, flick the news on and, oh, no, David Mundy's turned a BMW upside down. None of that. Not once in his career, JoJo. Either that or he's very good at hiding it, which I don't think it is. It's the latter. You know, he'd be the kind of kid, like, he'd never been late for training. He'd be the kind of kid that wouldn't, when he was at school, he would have not only taken the library books back early, he would have put them back on the shelf in alphabetical order. He's that type of toe-the-line, you know, attention to detail, you know. Hasn't received the accolades that he arguably deserves, but, and I guess he hasn't really gotten the external recognition until he was 35 years of age. But
well, he was All-Australian in 2015, Doig Medal in 2010, Fremantle Captain 2016. He's won a Ross Glendinning Medal. You know, it's not like the cabinet's empty. I mean, he's recognised in 2015 as, you know, as part of the best team in the country. So,
but I still don't think he was given the respect and the recognition, even doing that, by the wider competition, until probably this year.
Yeah.
You know, you've heard so much about him this year, and because his form, but his form has been great, but it's been as good in previous years. But for some reason, we don't, you know, well, we know what it is. We're over in the West. But just great, you know, and to go along, great character, humble, you know, doesn't seek the limelight. I love the guy. I don't think he's in, you know, as we were saying, in a Fife or Pavlich league, but I'd have 22 of him every day of the week and leave Pav and Fife out. So
you spoke to his loyalty a little bit earlier, and I think it was 2009, 2010, 2011, somewhere around that time when Gold Coast came around, that he was, you know, he's rumoured to be recruited by them or going back home to play in Melbourne. But that was really the, you know, the Adam Chera point for him. He stayed here, re-signed, and then he's just re-signed for 3 years ever since, and he'll retire a one club player.
So and that's that type of loyalty, isn't it? That's just you've got to respect that. And you know, he could have easily gone home. Could have gone to any club. Any club would have taken him. And it's a rare. And to me, that adds more to your character, more to your, you know, your credentials in the game. It just.
Do you think the AFL respects it though? A 10:30 a.m. bounce at on the Gold Coast for 350th.
Isn't this ridiculous, Jodo? Is it? I know it's all, you know, at the moment, you know, Delta, Tango, Foxtrot, COVID strains or whatever. But it's 10:30 in the morning Sunday. You know, a lot of people sleep in on Sunday. We're not all farmers. We don't get up at the crack of dawn to watch the one dodgy game on Thursday. Last Thursday, and we've gone from prime time to bedtime for our starting. It's disrespectful, but it's typical. And this is exactly what I'm saying. No recognition for a guy, you know, of his caliber and for what the club have done with him.
And no recognition either of the junior member family day movie morning that the Dockers scheduled on Sunday morning. I think Sonny and I were off to see Space Jam 2 at Warwick Cinemas, courtesy of the Fremantle Dockers. That's now been rescheduled to Saturday morning, where unfortunately Dad has to coach football. So poor little Sonny, he's missing out on Space Jam 2 on the weekend.
So it's true, the AFL aren't thinking of the children.
They're not, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So we've got Sydney on the weekend. We got the really good result against them earlier in the season. I think we got up by about 2 points. Are we any show to replicate that result comes Sunday morning, Saturday night, early Saturday, early Saturday evening, almost, when we face them on the
Late Friday night.
Yeah, really.
Not Saturday, not Saturday night, yeah. No, I don't think we are.
Sydney have come good, haven't they? I mean, that game against the Gold Coast was really impressive. Gold Coast got out of the blocks. I think they almost had them by about 40 points. It was 6-1 at quarter time.
Yeah.
Sydney just pegged them back from there. You know, they put 5 on them in the second quarter, 6 on them in the third, and then finished 3 quarters off in the last. But then they got comfortably over the line. They won by 26 points. The way they just mowed them down after the first quarter, they look really, really good.
They've improved so much since that round 10. They just, I don't know what it is. They've got some, I mean, they had a fairly similar list to what when we played them then.
It felt like they got out of the gates in the season pretty well. They had some really good results early. And then we kind of caught them in that patch where they really hit a flat spot.
Yes.
You know, guys like Blakey got dropped. They had a few guys that were left out of the team due to poor form. But all their better youngsters and all their veterans are now fit and firing.
Yeah.
And it seems like they've got a really good combination of guys on the park.
Does, doesn't it? And you know, they've got speed. They're good size all over the ground. They just got everything. And you know, they got a bloke in the middle. We talk about David Mundy. It's, you know, Luke Parker. He doesn't get the. I don't believe he gets the accolades he deserves. You know, and I know he hasn't been in the game as long as Mundy, but you know, his stats are probably even a touch better. So, you know, and he's probably not even the main one that you think about when you play the Swans, you know. So they've just got them all over the park, Jojo.
Ins and outs for the weekend. Connor Blakely, Young, Lloyd Meek, Matt Taberner back from the calf. Mitch Croden and Nathan O'Driscoll to potentially make his debut, although we haven't seen the video from the marketing department, so that might not be this week. Omitted Blake Akers, Rory Lobb out injured, and Switkowski injured again, which is disappointing. For Sydney, they brought in a host of talls without any omissions yet. So McLean, Lewis Taylor, former Brisbane player, Logan McDonald, the number three draft pick, and Sam Reed. Joel Amati being omitted, fresh off signing a 2-year contract extension today. So he'd be pretty happy with that. But what do you make? The big omission that stands out to me, apart from the two injuries, obviously, Blake Akers. And we talk about these kind of caliber of player for Freo quite a bit, especially after heavy losses. He probably had, he's, in my mind, he's had probably had this coming for a little while.
Oh, I think if we go back over our pods, Jojo, I think we've been half hinting that it probably should be on the cards. And, you know, again, it's, you hate saying it because you don't want to be disrespectful, but you're right. It was coming, and maybe it come a little bit too soon. A little bit too late.
Well, I think the coach has really stuck by him and really tried to find a role that suits him. We've seen him pinch hit in the ruck. He's been, you know, having a little bit more run around the ball. He's varied his kind of duties up on the ground to try and get him more engaged and more involved, but only has had mixed success, I think, over the last month or so.
Yeah. It's got to be worrying signs for him. He's got to be a bit concerned, doesn't he, if he, right now, seeing his name on the omission list.
Well, I don't think you want to be a mature age player.
No.
Getting dropped in round 17, 18, 19 in a young, you know, evolving team. I think you want to have established yourself as a, you know, a necessary part, necessary cog in the machine by now.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you're not in that position. So, yeah, not great for him. And I'm sure he's been given instructions on what to go back and work on with Peel. We don't know. He might have a slight injury. He is listed as omitted. But. Yeah, not great for Akers, I wouldn't have thought at this point.
How long's he contracted till?
I don't like questions without notice, but I will find that out for you.
You're a bloody encyclopedia on the AFL, Jada. You should know that off the top of your head.
someone who is potentially back in, I think there's a really good chance he will play as Hayden Young. How disappointed are you to see him back in the Fremantle in the team? You wanted him, if you had it your way, he'd be wrapped in cotton wool, probably playing in the Peel reserves for, what, 2 to 3 minutes per quarter until, what, 2025, until his body's matured and he's about 28 years old, and then we'll throw him into the big time?
Oh, we're bringing out the Waterford crystal glasses, Jojo. We got people over for dinner. The glasses are coming out. The fine china. No, I know you're right. I'm a bit nervous. I'm nervous that I'm petrified he goes down again. But yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see him out there. But if
he's coming off 23 touches and 6 marks at the Waffle last week, and yeah, listed in the Waffle Team of the Week. So not just the numbers stood out. Sorry.
Yeah, he was a walk up, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But if he does get injured, I'm holding you and Meg, who follows us on Twitter, you and her responsible for if he gets injured.
Akers has got 1 year left on his deal at the moment. He'll be a he'll be a non-free agent in 2022. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
No, but I think that's really encouraging to get Young. He's listed at half back. I made a failed attempt to trade for him in our fantasy league today, which is disappointing. But I'm really high on Hayden Young. I just think the way he uses the footy, you can see him being that rebound defender at Freo for the next 10 years, compiling a lot of the footy, taking a lot of intercept marks, and, you know, working with Luke Ryan and being a complementary piece back there as, you know, almost like a second quarterback, having a guy that can see the field in front of him, make good decisions, and set us up from back there.
Making Nathan Wilson very nervous.
Yeah, maybe. We spoke about the comeback from the Swans this week. The midfield for Freo, you know, much vaunted midfield, and we talked them up before the Geelong game, saying there was no reason why they shouldn't match it with those guys. They were completely outclassed, as it so happened.
Mm.
This is a really good opportunity for them to put a stake in the ground and claim a bit of territory back, because they're better than what they showed against Geelong last Thursday.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, we all know, you know, they're better than that, but I still worry about Fife's shoulder, Luke. Jojo, I don't even know if he should be playing. I wouldn't be, I mean, you know, like, not Hayden Young style, but there's no point risking that for, unless we're absolutely fair dinkum and this is a last roll of the dice, then okay, but
you're talking in terms of whether the team still feels as though finals are alive.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, yeah, if that's how they're treating it, then I guess they're going to play him. But I find it interesting. I will obviously get to him, that Lloyd Meek's on the in list. But I just, yeah, that worries me. The if his shoulder goes again, our midfield could get touched up again. But we do have to stand a bit harder than we did last week, for sure. You know, but you're up against Kennedy, you know, Parker, Rowbottom will run through there. Florent, not big, but he gets a plenty of the ball. It's a formidable.
Well, he's just a really hard runner, isn't he? He just runs all day. Someone who's been in really good form in the last month or so is Jordan Dawson, getting forward and kicking goals as well.
Yes.
I think he's like an underrated player that you've got to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
And then you look at we'll get to their forwards in a minute, I suppose, but they're rucks. They pinched Tom Hickey from West Coast, and he's having a really good season for a player that probably has had plenty of opportunities up until this point and never really grasped it. So, I mean, I think I'd rather have Sean Darcy any day of the week, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it's not a ruck contest. It's just a lay down for Darcy. Hickey will give him a good contest, and then they'll have, I would have thought, Amadi. I was disappointed and a little bit surprised to see him dropped. He's played pretty well over the last few weeks. He had that really good half-volley goal, which he kicked in the last game.
Oh, but, yes.
You know, maybe they bring in a Hayden McLean, who's maybe a bit of a bigger-bodied backup ruck to give Tom Hickey a hand, but Sean Darcy, and you're not convinced he's going to play. I think he'll play. Another good challenge for him.
Yeah, but this is why I'm trying to work out what, I mean, I know the Sunday game, you don't have to put your full team in. You can, you know, Thursday night, you can put in whoever you want. But I find it interesting that we've included Lloyd Meek, And we knew Darcy, there was a cloud over Darcy.
But so, there's not just a cloud over Darcy, I think. There's a cloud over Taberner as well. So if Taberner doesn't come up, you're going in with Meek. Because you don't want to have that forward line just with Tracy again, surely. That didn't look good last week when Lob went down. So I think he's there as an insurance policy
for either one.
Gotcha. Taberner and Darcy, if one doesn't get up.
That makes a bit of sense.
The clearance battle, just talking about the rucks and the mids, the Swans absolutely smashed GWS in the end in the clearances, and it's something that we didn't do very well with against Geelong either. I think those numbers in particular, even just the raw numbers looking off the page, are going to be such an important part of this game if we're to have any chance.
Yeah.
We have to win the ball in the centre. We can't afford to give them first look going forward.
No. If we lose the clearances, JJ, we'll get belted bigger than... Well, more than I think we're going to get beaten by. But you can't. If they've got, you know... I don't know who you said you thought was coming in, but if they've got Buddy, you know, McLean, Sam Reed, whoever, then you've got Papley and Heaney, and they win the clearances. Yeah, the centre clearances. We're in dire straits.
Yeah, so I think Papley kicked four last week. Buddy, that game from even earlier in the year, I can't remember Buddy having a heap of the footy. I can just remember it whenever he got the footy, him rolling onto his left leg and just nailing goals from about 80 metres out. Like, he was incredible that night. He played really, really well. And I think at the moment, you know, even though he's getting a little bit older, he's really taking his opportunities and having a high impact on games, even with the low possession numbers. He's kicking goals. Yep. He's creating goals. He's in really good form at the moment. And then they've got a couple of guys. Errol Goulden's a first-year player who I rate pretty highly. He's had a really good season. He's a dangerous little player. And then also Will Haywood. I mean, they've got guys that just pop up every week, and they'll give you a goal here, a goal there, a couple of goals one week. But
Haywood's the – he's starting to deliver on, you know, what they what he's promised for a few seasons, JJ. You know, since we played them in round 10, he's played all seven games since, kicked 13 goals. You know, he's big, he's tough, and he doesn't mind handing out a bit of a how-do-you-do either. So he's, that's exactly right. You can think about Buddy and you can think about Heaney and all these other guys, and then a Haywood gets you know.
And I think that's it for us. You know, we've got Logan Pierce to handle the talls, you know, so they'll take Reed or Franklin or a combination of either, whatever we're going to do. But then, you know, you think about your Nathan Wilsons, Darcy Tucker, and Hayden Young, Luke Ryan, you know, Connor Blakely, if he plays back there, Ethan Hughes will be in the team. These guys have got a really big responsibility to not let the guys get off the chain. You know, you got to help out against Buddy and make sure he doesn't get an easy grab or, you know, a lot of space to work in. But they've got the guys around him that can really hurt you. So it'll be a test for our defense, I think. I think they'll be under the pump at times, and it'll be interesting to see how they stand up.
Well, I think in that game when Buddy kicked six on us last time, it was Logue, Ryan and Cox. Alex Pierce wasn't there. So
Pierce is definitely a better matchup for him.
Yeah, definitely. So hopefully that keeps him somewhat contained. But as you said, then it falls to the other guys. So you can tame one and three others jump up.
The other area of concern for me is our forward line function. You know, the ball didn't get down there a heap last week, but we took, two or three marks inside 50. The forward line pressure was, you know, non-existent almost when the ball did get in there.
Yeah.
It's a big game if we can get Taberner up and going and Tracy up and going, just to see what we've got down there with the smalls. Henry's been a little bit off for like 3-4 weeks, which is not to be unexpected by, you know, a second-year small forward. And, you know, literally a small forward.
Yeah.
But I thought we need more out of our forward line this week. We need more movement, more activity, you know, and a bigger defensive effort. Are you surprised that Weston didn't get an opportunity? He kicked three goals in the waffle on the weekend. He was named in the better players. Seemed to have 20 of the ball, 21 touches, 6 marks.
Yeah.
Could he have been given an opportunity, do you think?
I would have thought so. I mean, if we're given a Driscoll a game and I would have thought maybe straight swap for Henry. You know, give Henry a spell and give Weston a run at it. But, yeah, I'm not sure. And then Crown's listed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a bit surprised. But once again, I think it's on some level we're in two minds whether we're, you know, rolling the top 8 dice or not, the last roll of the dice. I don't know. So
I think with O'Driscoll, a lot of times these first-year guys, especially the ones that are taken in the first, second rounds, they're given almost a program to work on to say, you know, you're going to play waffle for rounds X, Y, and Z, and then you'll get an opportunity to make a debut in round whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all pre-planned and, you know, I think O'Driscoll would definitely get to see him at AFL level, barring injury at some point this year.
Yeah. But why?
Yeah, it's an interesting one to see. It seems we're a mix at the moment of, yes, we think we're a good chance of making the finals, but we still want to expose our young players and you know, reward the effort they're putting in. And we at waffle level, which I don't mind, but as long as we're not, and I'm sure we're not putting into danger players that are carrying more significant niggles like Fife or Darcy or Tabs. If they're not 100%, I don't want them out there.
Pretty sure that's what we're doing. Have you not been watching the last few weeks, JJ? Pretty sure that's what we're doing. Just on Western before you go on. Yeah. It was strange that we gave him that game, dropped him, and then haven't. Yeah, so this would have been the ideal. You would have thought this would be the ideal game to get him back and give him another crack at it. So strange, but
well, I guess when he came in that week and he came in with Walker.
Yeah,
did he not come in more out of, almost through necessity of not having anyone else?
Probably did too. That's true.
Which is probably a disappointing way to get your debut. You want to have earned it and get the opportunity to keep your spot, but. He seems to be doing all the right things. He went through a run of really good form back at Peel. Then he had a few quiet weeks, and then he's performed really well last week. So you'd like to see that those performances kind of rewarded at some point.
Yeah.
So I'm taking by the sentiment you've kind of put forward in this last podcast we've been doing that you don't think Freo a red-hot chance of pulling off a win this week.
I'm a little bit concerned. It's you know, it depends who comes into the final team, obviously, but I'm not 100% sure it matters. I just don't think we can contain their forwards. You know, their height. I really don't know how we can kick enough goals, especially if we don't contain their forwards. You know, I don't like to say, and I hate to be the pessimist because that's not me, but I'm talking 40 points, JoJo. I think 40 plus could be. It's a fine day, 22, sun shining, no rain. I can see Sydney somehow getting a hold of us. And especially if Darcy doesn't play. But I think we're going to get a bit of a touch up. And I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't think you're right. I reckon the boys will put in a really strong defensive effort. You know, you got to remember, it is a big game for the club. 350 for Monday. The build-up would have been there internally all week as well as what we've had externally.
5 minutes. 5 minutes, that's big. Nah. The first 5 minutes, that matters. No, it doesn't.
I think that the focus for Freo will be on slowing down the ball movement, locking him up, not giving him clean forward entries. Again, though, and I think they'd be fully aware of it, the problem lies for us in our goal-scoring ability. We just don't have any scoring power. So if we're going to win this game, it's going to be about what needs to be about 50 to 40 or something in those lines because you couldn't back us in to kick a score at the moment. And especially when you see the players named, it helps having Tabs come in. But from the way you heard JL talk today about Tabs and, you know, they're considering a game in the waffle instead, he can't be just 100% fighting fit, jumping out of his skin, ready to play AFL footy if that's the kind of conversation they're having. So it doesn't fill you with confidence.
I missed that.
I think he said that, you know, at this stage, he expects him to play, but they're still of a mind to have a think about maybe putting him through for one game in the waffle first. So
So if he doesn't play, let's say he didn't play, it's on Tracy and Meek, I suppose.
Yeah, which is tough on Tracy. I mean, you have to push him up the ground. He'd be the one tall target coming off half forward, and you'd have Meek deep switching with Darcy, I suppose, resting forward. Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, we're getting Sydney at a really bad time. They seem to be have really hit their straps. I mean, they seem to be a really tight group. Did you see John Longmire, you know, crying and kissing and cuddling everyone after the win on the weekend?
What's going on there? That's not horse. He's not usually like that. He's pretty excited, wasn't he?
Yeah, I know, even the players, though, they all got around each other. They look like a club that's pretty happy with where they're at and where they're going. So, yeah, they probably not like a great time to run into them.
All on the same page, aren't they? I want to change my prediction, JoJo. Yeah. If Tabs doesn't play, 100 points we get done by.
You're the worst.
No. I think we'll get beat, but I think around the 40-point mark.
All right. Well, I did promise you this. We've got a quick neighborhood watch section.
Yes, JJ, the Neighbourhood Watch. It's been away for a while. There hasn't been a lot going on, but it's been a lot happening in the last few days. And we'll get straight into it. You know, I'm an advocate for light-hearted, jovial, created sledging. You know, I don't think there's anywhere near enough of it in the game. But there's a line, JJ. There's a line. And I think one of our all-time greats, probably our greatest, he may have overstepped the mark during the week. I think the mighty Pav may have crossed the line, JJ. He went too soon, and he proceeded to go a bit too far on his medical sub call, you know, with the West Coast Eagles. And yeah. I think it was very, very unfair on him, JJ. Very, very unfair on the poor West Coasters. You know, this is the point of the Neighbourhood Watch. You know, make the relationships better. Now, despite Adam Simpson's words, stating that they used the medical sub rule for precautionary means, they really hadn't had a chance to construct the facts yet, had they? You know. So
what do you mean construct the facts?
They hadn't had a chance to get their story straight.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So when Pav teed off. So, but speaking of someone of teeing off. Did you hear this morning on Trevor Nisbet on what was he on this morning? He was on 92.5 Fake FM Breakfast with Haggers and Suma. Did you hear him on that? You didn't hear him?
I missed it.
No, Luke Shuey's he said Luke Shuey's car suffered delayed concussive symptoms, and consequently, he had to be pulled out of Monday's game of golf he had booked with Andy Gaff and the Brayshaw brothers. So it was true, JJ. It was true. So, come on, Pav. They're a bit vulnerable at the moment. They're a little bit brittle. You can't be going that hard on them with facts like that. You can't be going like that, JJ. So,
It's pretty dumb. He should have just picked an example that wasn't a West Coast Eagle, because you're just not allowed. If you're in the media, and maybe he hasn't been in it long enough, he should know that you just don't say anything negative about the Eagles. Otherwise, you know, the whole place explodes. No one can handle it. But no. I think what his point was 100% right. And every club does it. If it's a concussion sub, it's a concussion sub. But it's obviously not.
No, every club doesn't do it. Only they did it.
Whoa. I think you've got a pretty short memory there.
What have we got, brother? Have you got something? You sound like you've got something.
Well, I think every club's done it. And, you know, we only have to look back to the last time we played Sydney and Matt Taberner going off with his ankle. I'm pretty sure we used it.
Oh, no, you can't say that.
But this is what Pab's point is. I mean, the rule was brought in an ad hoc nature.
Yep.
But the problem with it is, if you're going to make commentary on something like that in Western Australia,
yeah,
just use a Fremantle Docker as the example, or, you know, someone that plays for Essendon. The West Coast hearts are delicate. They're like fine china. Just, you can't make a comment like that. You got to understand where you are.
I can't believe you just thrown Pav under the bus. I cannot believe you've done that. And how long? No, you're wrong. How long have I been calling for to up the rivalry, to up the, you know, the rhetoric? God, this is what we need. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. Just come out.
No, I'm not saying if you did anything wrong, but if you just don't want the heat, because it's just going to come from every angle.
Yeah, but we do want it. This is the point.
We do want it. Well, maybe Tabs, maybe Pav wants it.
He wants it. I reckon he does. He's like, someone's got to start this. I was rapt when he did that. I really liked it. So, but on top of that, he's absolutely right. The way the rule's getting used is an absolute joke. And it's going to be very difficult to use the rule in the right manner, to get clubs to use it in that right manner. So I don't know how they fix it, but it's got to be some tinkering with it in the off season.
I don't think. Why do you even have to be injured? Why don't, if you're going to play with, if you're going to have 23 in a sub, and people are just going to fake injuries, why make them fake it for? Why not just have 22 in a sub? And if you want to sub someone off, just sub them off.
We had that, and people hated it.
No, we had 3 in a sub though, didn't we?
Oh yeah, but it wasn't it the. Was that
what? But that's what it, I mean. It's effectively that thing. That's effectively what it is now. Anyway, we're just calling it something else. So why not just call it what it is?
Agreed. But we're, you know, just it's bizarre, isn't it? But I don't even know was it called the concussion sub to make it look like we're, you know, doing something dramatic with concussion. So
yeah, probably. Well, by the sounds of it, we won't be able to afford to have 4 players on the bench anyway. Pretty soon, the AFL's going broke. Maybe we'll just have one on. We'll have one on the bench. Anyway.
Yeah. Do that. Survival of the fittest. you didn't give your prediction, Jodo, for the Swans for the game.
Well, I think we can do it. I think we can shut them down if we play that dour kind of defensive. Everyone get behind the footy brand of footy we did last year for bits. We'll keep it close and we'll have a crack at them. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I don't think Fife won't let it be a blowout. Mundy won't let it be a blowout. We'll dig in. We're going to dig in after the Geelong game. They surely got pricked pride. We've got to do better.
Yeah. All right. I like your thinking. I just think
we get a reaction. We've got substance. This group's got substance. They won't go to water. They'll know that what we dished up against Geelong, you know, isn't a good representation of where we're at or what we've got. I think they'll put out a better performance.
But was what we dished up against Carlton where we're at? Twice. No,
we're better than what we showed against Geelong, for sure. And they're professionals, so they're gonna feel it. They want to put out a better performance, especially in a big game.
Yeah.
We do. About a quarter of Fremantle's supporters will be awake at 10:30 in the morning to watch it. So
10:30. I haven't finished watching cartoons by 10:30. But if ever we've got it in us. If ever there's a game, do it for Dave.
Yeah. I agree. Well, until Monday afternoon when we'll talk about the win, the stirring victory that we're going to have over the Sydney Swans on the Gold Coast, are you still down with the restump?
Oh, look, champions are born from and restricted to their on-field exploits. It's his loyalty and humility that has seen David Mundy transcend those boundaries to legendary status.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So, yeah.